I see the clock in front of me, so relax. I want to get right to the point here and maybe say the things that I think need to be heard. I hope when you listen to those two passages that Terry read, the thing that struck you was the contrast in the disciples. In that first picture, they're in that house, it says, hiding in fear. They've probably heard some rumors about Jesus being raised, but they have not seen him yet. They're terrified. They're filled with remorse, probably, because they abandoned him. Didn't follow through with what they said they were going to do. They were probably deeply depressed and filled with despair because the hope that perhaps had been growing in them, they felt like that was all gone. And so, in some ways, that closed up room represents the condition of their hearts as well. Their hearts were closed up by fear. Move to the book of Acts, and here the same guys are. They've been out spreading the news about the risen Jesus, in spite of the fact that they'd already been told not to do so. They've been in jail and set free, it says, by an angel. And now here they've been dragged before the authorities again and said, I thought we told you not to do this. And they say something as bold as, we have to obey God, not men. They're virtually now fearless. What happened? What made up for that difference? One of probably the leading American scholar of world religions, his book, Houston Smith, his book on world religions is the standard textbook for classes, introductory classes in world religions. But late in his life, he's now gone, he died in his late 90s, he sort of returned and focused specifically on his own Christian faith. I think he grew up the children of Methodist, a child of Methodist ministers, missionaries in China. But he decided to focus on his own Christian faith. And so what I think was his final book, he titled The Soul of Christianity. And he's looking at this very contrast that we're talking about and asking the same question, what transformed these guys? He said they had been moved from, they'd been set free, in other words. What had been binding their hearts was now gone. He said they had been set free from their fear, particularly their fear of death. That they had been set free from the burden of guilt they were carrying. Probably not just the way they'd betrayed Jesus and failed him, but also they were human beings. They had a whole lifetime of things that they were probably feeling some guilt and shame about. But now they're set free from that too. And finally, Smith says, they were set free from the, let's just call it the burden of self. The cramping confines of their own self-centeredness. Their hearts have been set free from that. You identify with any of that? And so Smith asked the same question. What happened? What changed these guys? And he says, there's only one power that can do that. That's the power of love. Only the power of love can bring about that kind of transition in a human heart. The human heart, he said, almost has to be bombarded and broken open by that love in order to set us free, free from those terrible things that I just mentioned. That's what he says happened to the disciples. So we look back then at that scene where they're hiding out in that room. It's Sunday night on the first Easter day. And Jesus passes through that wall. It doesn't say he knocked and asked if he could come in, I don't think. I think it said he just showed up, and there he was. And he greets them. I think our passage we heard this morning said, he said, peace be with you. I think in the Cotton Patch Gospel, he shows up and says, howdy, right? But he shows up and greets them. But even more importantly then, he shows him his hands and his side. So this is what they did to me. It's still me. This is what the love of God endured for you. He said, just as I've been sent, I'm sending you. And then he did something really remarkable. Do you remember what he did? He breathed on them. He breathed on them. In the Bible and in this passage, breath means life. He breathed into them the same risen life that was in him. You know, in the Bible, the words both in Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, the word for breath and the word for spirit is the same word. In other words, the Spirit is the living and active power of God that was in him, and he's breathing that now into them. And they're never going to be the same because their hearts have been broken open. Those walls of their that they've been hiding behind are now broken down, and because love has set them free. And then you say, okay, well, what does love have to do with Jesus breathing on them? Good question. But you know, if you read the rest of the New Testament, that idea of spirit and love are inseparable. Doesn't Paul say something about the love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit? God is love. John says that expressly in his first letter. So what else could the power of God be except love? That's what gets breathed into them. They're never the same. How could we be? Problem is that we, like those disciples, keep our hearts pretty safe. We don't want anybody breaking in and changing things. It might be a little scary, but at least it's comfortable in here. At least I have some control, right? The problem is I'm missing out on what? Life. I'm not living. I think one of the collects, these are little short prayers usually used at the end of services in the Anglican and Catholic churches, but in one of those it says something to the effect that those who don't love, God accounts as dead. Yes, breath, life, spirit, it's all about love because that's what God's all about. I think I'm going to have to cut right to the chase here. What else do we have to teach here, if that's not it? What else, finally, are we promising to do for CC and Elle and Braylon and all the other kids in this church? We're here to love them. We're here to breathe our love on them, just as Jesus breathed his love on us. That's the only way we're going to know any kind of freedom. Because if we're not free to love, we ain't free. Right? I think that's enough for this morning. Amen?